and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement.
Because
of the kingdom.
Faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
The kingdom of God is a treasure. Jesus said it's like a treasure hidden in a field, which people don't find because they don't seek it and they don't even know what it's all about. From this night, there is another unction that is going to fall on this meeting. And that will begin us on a whole new journey. I believe that you're going to leave camp meeting a different man because of what will happen from now on. Thank God for the things we've been talking about the last few sessions. Thank God for that. A lot of people would like to remain with children's bread. There is another realm of life for you that God has planned for you. What I wanted to pray about is this. The kingdom life, you cannot experience, you cannot, until first you have a revelation of it. The kingdom is only accessible by insight. First, Jesus spent 3.5 years preaching the gospel of the kingdom, yet most of the multitudes that he dealt with never had access to it. Why? The Bible said, hearing and not perceiving, seeing but not understanding. But he turned to his disciples, he said, but to you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. That's why new birth is first required. God said, a new birth experience, the recreation of the human spirit, helps you see the kingdom. John chapter 3 verse 3. Then in verse 5, he said, it helps you enter it. He's not talking about going to heaven. He's talking about entering into a new type of life. Before that reality would dawn on you, and you enter into the manifestations, the operations of it, you must first have insight into what it's all about. The purpose of this camp meeting is to discuss the kingdom of God. That's the reason we gathered you this week. It's a treasure, like a treasure hidden in a field, which the moment your eyes opens to it, you'll be willing to sell every other thing. You'll be willing to give up every other thing in order to lay hold on it. The reason you are not doing what you should is because you don't even know. You don't even see. That's what the Lord wants me to do tonight. Glory be to the name of Jesus. Thine is the kingdom. The day that truth dawned on me, anything devil does, whatever he can generate, is no more a case. It doesn't bother me anymore. I live as if the devil doesn't exist. Thine is the kingdom. The devil said to Jesus, all these have been delivered to me. If you worship me, I'll give it to you. But Jesus had a higher insight. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Because by the time you read Daniel, the record of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar was deposed, the heavenly watcher that spake a judgment over him, sentencing him to being a chimpanzee for 7 years, that heavenly watcher made an announcement. He said that all flesh might know that God Almighty ruleth in the kingdoms of men and giveth it to whosoever he willeth. But the devil said to Jesus, all these have been delivered to me and I give it to whosoever I will. I don't think you heard what I said. The devil said, I'm the one that is the boss. I give it to whosoever I will. God said, to show you, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are finished tonight. Return to the bush. He said that all flesh might know that the God of heavens ruleth among men. He controls the kingdoms of the earth, and he gives it to whosoever he wills. And the amazing thing is that he can set the basest of men, the lowliest of them, on the throne. Few years after Nebuchadnezzar, his son Belshazzar came up, misbehaved again. Another verdict was released on him. That night he died. And the man said again in Daniel chapter 5 that every man might know that the Almighty God ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whosoever he will. The day that revelation dawned on me, third time or no third time, stop shaking me. It doesn't matter how powerful the man is or how connected a party is. They want to cage in a nation. There is a place, there is a kingdom that overrules the systems of this world. I understood why Jesus didn't bow to the devil in order to collect it. He had a revelation. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. For how many years? I said, for how many years? In other words, to obtain dominion, you don't need to sell out to the enemy. You need to go to the source of it. Can I hear you say amen? Some of you want to rule in the world of economy. Some of you in the world of politics. And some of you in different other spheres of society. We are going to get into all that. You don't need to go to the devil. They tell you he's so tough to become the governor of your state. If you don't go and swear at Ogugu, my friend, Ogugu is not the one that calls the shots. There's only one group of people though, that have a scepter that overrules whatever they decide anywhere, in Aso Rock anywhere. It's kingdom people. The church. We have not understood our role. Let's pray for the opening of eyes first. Lift up your hands. Let's ask God to start a revolution here in our lives. We spend some sessions talking to you about your relationship with the Father so that we can get to this point, because there is a mandate that is committed to our trust. There is a dominion mandate to pursue. Ask God to unveil his kingdom. It's not accessible by reasoning, by information. You can only access it by revelation. Ask God to enlarge, to open up your eyes. The church world has been trapped by the gospel of grace for many years.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
The next phase of this conference, the time has come universally. When you have made up your mind by your own decree, by your own predetermined counsel, to unveil the mysteries of your kingdom to men. There has never been a time like this season. Since the different revivals and the moves of God, when light, tremendous light, is coming on this issue, open the heart of your children. Open our heart tremendously this weekend. Throw a feast of fat things in this place. Unveil your heart to us in a dimension we have not known before. Let us not leave and go back to churchianity and go back to our old ways of doing things. Let us leave this conference a new breed of people, part of that end time army that will manifest your glory in this last hour. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. You may be seated. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, a popular scripture, but yet very few in the body of Christ understand it. Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. Many signs of the end times that he listed in that chapter, but he said this is the ultimate sign. Until this one happens, forget about the end. Now I was somewhere and a group of ministers were discussing this particular verse of the scripture. He said the gospel has gone around the world, TBN, different satellite cables and all that. So Jesus could be coming in any minute from now. And I asked one of them, I said, which particular gospel has gone around the world? Is it this one or another one? What has gone around the world, we know, is not the gospel of the kingdom. It's not. The gospel of the kingdom has not been preached to Nigeria. He said to all nations, it has not been preached to Nigeria. This is what we judge the different nations of the earth at the end of the age. In Luke chapter 16, verse 16, he says, from the time of John the Baptist, maybe I should show it to you, because the first man to preach the kingdom was John. And Jesus took it to another dimension from there. Luke chapter 16 is interesting. There is something there that we need to take note of. Verse 16, the law and the prophets were unto John. But since that time, from the time of John, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. There is a message that carries with it the redemption of nations. Not just individuals giving their life to Christ and all that. And that is a message that has not come to Nigeria. That's why our social system is still decayed. That's why our political system is still in jeopardy. That's why this nation, with over 40 million people, is still in a mess. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And Charles Spurgeon said, any gospel that cannot change society is not gospel at all. The power for change is in the message. The power that transforms is in the message. If you're honest, you can bear me witness that there are many of us that have given our lives to Christ for many years, and very little progress has been made in our lives. There is a reason for that. The reason is very simple. Whenever the message is diluted or adulterated, it loses its power. If you look at years of preaching the gospel in Nigeria, over 40 million Christians, and we have not impacted society. We have a nation that claimed to have a Christian president, many members of the Senate born again, a number of state governors born again. But what is the problem of these Christians is the message that is being given to them Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. I said the problem is the message he has been given. You taught him the message of salvation. He took it to the government house and messed up his state. That's why some of you are duping people right now. You're doing business, you dupe your partner, dupe fellow believers. There is a gospel that changes. The gospel has not lost its power. We are the ones that have lost the gospel. You didn't hear what I said. The gospel has not lost its power to change. We are the ones that have lost the gospel that changes. Do you know there are millions of Christians, professing Christians, who claim to have given their life to Christ, and yet they don't even know the message that Jesus Christ himself preached? There are two things you should be aware of. There is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. Two different things. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the message about his death and resurrection, and the benefit of that for the salvation of man. That message was not preached until Christ rose from the dead. But before Christ rose from went to the cross, they were preaching the gospel. There's a gospel Peter and Co. were commissioned two by two to go and preach. What is that message? There's a gospel that Jesus Christ himself went about all villages preaching. What is that message? You think he was going about from villages telling them, I'm the Messiah, I died for you, I rose again from the dead. If you believe in my shed blood, you'll be saved. You think that's what he was going about doing? Or telling them, okay, don't worry, I'm about to die. Just believe ahead of time. Put your check. After I die, you can cash it. Are you still here? Make sure you tighten your seatbelt, because we're switching away from that message that focuses on you. That's why you are so selfish, to the one that focuses on God's eternal purpose. And as we start switching, a lot of people usually disconnect. They get lost halfway. You know why? The whole thing is no more on them. How you will get pregnant. How you will receive protection. How you will get more money. How you will get all that. The moment you switch off on that, hey, what is it? What am I still doing here? I thought I came here to get something for me. That's why we have a body of Christ that God is depending on to get his program carried out on earth. But from neck down to the feet, it's 98% paralyzed. How can you, if you are the one, if you are Jesus Christ now, you know, your body, your spirit, you, the real you, is not this body. You live inside this body. You now, you, they give you a body that is paralyzed from neck down. You are inside, you have dream, you want to go to market. But the body you are inside can't move. You want to drive your car. You look at the cars. You can't even get up to touch the tires. You want to go to toilet. You can't go. You sit down in a chair. You are messing around like a baby where you are. That is how Jesus has been reduced to a cripple because of the church. We have crippled the purposes of God, the plans of God, through our darkness. That time, when I talk about darkness, I'm talking about ignorance of the highest order. Matthew chapter 4. I think I need to show you. Remember, from the time of John, the kingdom is preached, and when the kingdom is preached, there is a result stated that it's a man start pressing. You don't beg people to be followed up. The gospel of the kingdom follows you up by itself. All this one that I gave my life to Christ, the reason I went back to my boyfriend is because nobody came to my house to visit me on Sunday is the message we're teaching. were raising fowls for slaughter. The problem of Nigeria right now is the church in Nigeria. The state of the church. Because when the soup is not sweet, it's don't blame the soup, blame the salt. When the light went off here, do you start blaming the building? You blame electricity. And those that are supposed to supply it. Society will remain saltless until the church rises to do our job. Society will remain in the dark until we rise up to illuminate it. So you see, the problem of Nigeria today is this 40 million professing Christians in this nation. But what is the problem of these Christians is the message that is being given to them Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. While I was sitting down outside, I was saying, Lord, do we close this night and go? He said, close what? Didn't you remember? Don't worry about the devil. He's not the guide. He said, if you like, close this camp meeting on all this excitement on grace and all that. That will not get the job done. The gospel of grace is baby food. God planned that we should use it to bring the children in and nurture them within those few era when they give their life to Christ. The purpose of grace is to swing the door open for people to enter in. But after they enter in, we are supposed to now settle them down in the house and start teaching them kingdom life. The gospel of grace will not have been needed if not for sin and the fall of man and the need for redemption. It wouldn't have been necessary at all. It was added because of the fall. Do you know that during the millennium, we are still going to be preaching the gospel? Many of you don't know that. That's when you are going to even see this nation of Israel you've been talking about come on another dimension. This nation is rising up. They're going to preach. They're going to evangelize the nations of the earth. What do you think they'll be preaching then? How to be saved? How not to go to hell? Matthew chapter 4. What message did Jesus preach? Let's just answer some very basic questions and we'll leave it. I'll leave you thinking. A whole night is enough to digest those few ones. What message did Jesus preach? Jesus did not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom. And that is what he said in Matthew 24, that gospel, not any other one, must be published as a witness to every nation. Then the end shall come. The message of the new millennium, the message of the 21st century is the gospel of the kingdom. Until you understand it, you will not fit in into God's program for this hour. A message that will conclude this age is the gospel of the kingdom. And amazingly, that's also the message that the church launched out with. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And from that time, this is how Jesus began his ministry. After John baptized him, he went down to Galilee, the city of Galilee, found Capernaum in fulfillment of the Isaiah's prophecy that the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. The Bible says, verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you read it in Luke, he said the scriptures are fulfilled. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived. Many translations puts it that way. King James uses the word at hand. This old British English word meaning has arrived or is at the door. Change your mind. Change your thinking. Get a new understanding. Turn away from your past. For the kingdom of heaven has arrived. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. He went everywhere from that time on, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Acts chapter 1. This is Dr. Luke writing. I just want to lay a few foundation. You better get this, brothers and sisters. Tell your friend you need to get this. Tell him your future depends on it. Tell him this is why you are incarnating. Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. We want to know what he did. We also want to know the message that he taught, the message that he preached. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. We also want to know what he instructed them. Verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. Hey. Jesus spent 3.5 years preaching this thing. Now the man dies on the cross, rises again from the dead. He said, I still need to spend additional 40 days explaining this thing to these men that I have chosen. Because they are going to carry this thing to the rest of the nation. I have to make sure that they understand it. I want you to know. You know, they talk about a man's last words. You know, if you were to die suddenly, without warning, boom, you are dead. No time to prepare. And then you find yourself wherever, in hell or heaven, wherever you find yourself. They now say, we are going to give you one more chance. And when we give you this chance, it's just one day to put in order whatever you want to put in order on earth or remedy whatever you need to remedy. What will it be that you would do if you are given additional 24 hours after that, you are out? For Jesus, he was just given 40 days. After that, you are out from the planet earth to the third heaven. Never to show up here till more than 2,000 years when you're going to return to set up a millennial kingdom. But we will just allow you 40 days after death. What will you do with that 5 weeks, 5 days? What do you think? I want to get some feedback. I want to know. Let's start with you, Pastor Ben. Pia, you just go like that. And like the rich man who said, please, even if it's just 1 hour, let me just go back. Just my brothers. What will you do with extra 1 day if you are giving it? And after that, you return back. What will you do with it?
Personally, areas like maybe people who needed salvation, whom I still need to reach. They will be my priority.
Maybe you start organizing crusade that day.
No, not crusade. Like, for instance, now, my family. I would like to put certain things in order there.
Everyone say my family. No, I didn't hear you. Say my family. I want to guarantee you, they give you 24 hours after you've gone to hell or heaven and back, you won't think about crusade. Stop deceiving yourself. Jesus didn't say, okay, these 40 days, let's rush down to Africa. Africa shall be saved. Let's rush down to America. After all, I've just paid the price for their salvation. And I didn't go there all the while I was here. So let's just rush down. Mm-mm. He was thinking about his family. The people he's entrusting the future to. They were the people he was thinking about. And he thought about the most important thing they have to be told, that was being emphasized, that was sinking into their ears. And he spent those days getting it. Like, what are you going to tell your family? For example, your wife, what will you tell her?
For instance, the vision that I had, which we've been sharing, I'm going to, you know, kind of make sure that she continues with those things. She keeps the vision going to look after the kids, their upbringing and all that.
What if the vision was wrong? And your eyes opened like the rich man in hell, because the rich man's vision was amassing wealth, capturing more wealth and all that, and Lazarus was begging. He didn't care. What do you think rich man would tell his wife, to whom he left all the wealth and is now in hell? What do you think he would tell her? First message to the wife of the rich man.
He would like to point the woman back to the real issues. For him now, his discovery now was that life after here It was about life after here. And he had already seen the other side. So what he was going to tell his people was, would definitely be that, listen, there is a life after here, and you must do this or do this. Put your priorities should be towards life after here.
What the rich man would do when he returned, if he were given a second chance just one day, is exactly what he was discussing with Father Abraham in hell. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
The people he left his wealth with, his kids, maybe they are grown now, managing the companies, he's going to teach them how to really use money. He's going to teach them another way of life. After taking care of his immediate concern, his family, if there is any other person, a friend or close relative, because when Lot was told 25 hours to go, he didn't go on city evangelism. He looked for his daughters who were married, his kids who were living with him in the house, his wife and all that. And with all that he did, he still lost his wife. Lost all his married daughters and all his in-laws. Only escaped with the two that were with him. Because the things he was telling them sounded like fairy tale. It was contrary to how he used to live before. It is possible that the rich man will come back and start telling them this story. Some of them will say, you finish enjoying your time. It's our turn to enjoy. You want to come from the dead to disturb us? We'll go and call a native doctor to send you back. They will go everywhere looking for help. Preachers, come. There is a dead man appearing in this house. I don't know what he's appearing for. You know, that's how some thought about Jesus Christ. Some of his disciples, they thought he was a ghost. Some of the times he would tell them, touch me. This is not ghost. This is flesh and bones. He would say, do you have any bread here? They will bring it, he will eat. He said, before you go, thinking a ghost appeared to you, I'm not a ghost. I'm not Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost may be a ghost. Spirit without a body. This one is complete bone and flesh being. Because what he had was a bodily resurrection. I want to try one more person. Elopetife's wife said something on TV that got my attention. He said, I wish all the preachers would die. And I said, eh? You know, her husband died. He said, I wish all the preachers would die and then be given a second chance by God. Many of them will change what they are preaching. He said, secondly, many of them will reorganize their ministries. She now made a statement. He said, if you know that thing you would do if you are given a second chance, start doing it now. She said one of the lessons that all those preachers will learn is they will be able to see who are sycophants in the ministry. You know, there are people who just do eye service because you are there. You think they are with you? He said, secondly, many of them will now have opportunity to see what church people will do to their wives and children after they are gone. That was why the resurrection was important in the program. If we had a dead savior whose death saved us, but who didn't live after he died for us, we would still be left as orphans. Of course, many things will not work in this program of redemption. What will you do? Are this your age dead? In answer, 24 hours chance. Just go back, meet with your wife and family or whosoever you want, and then you're off. You go. What will you do with the 24 hours?
I will probably look at the lapses I've had as a minister and as a man and put them up together with my wife.
Mm-hmm. If you correct the lapses, what else?
Then I also emphasize again on the vision, why God brought us together, and also the things that God has for us.
You know, these are preachers. They are very wise. You know, ask the lawyer a question. These two groups, the other ones wear white this way. The other ones wear their collar this way. The other ones wear their own this way. Those two groups. You know, they call lawyers learned gentlemen. They call the other one ecclesiastical gentlemen. Two of them are supposed to be learned people. Two of them are supposed to know law. But it depends on which one they studied. Thank you. Thank you. I wanted to see what Jesus spent the remaining 40 days doing. That would tell you that that is the most important thing on his mind. While he was on earth, he had a problem communicating this clearly to the people. They understand it. Even those he told, to you is given to know the mysteries, they still had poor understanding of this issue. The Bible said that after he rose up from the dead, he opened their mind to understand the scriptures and now began to unveil truths and things concerning the kingdom to them. He said, for now, this message is what you're going to take around the world. They invaded the Roman Empire with it. Asia Minor fell within a couple of years. Jerusalem fell within a couple of years. They went to Rome, the most corrupt empire. The kings there declared themselves to be gods. There were so many gods they worshipped there. They began to kill the Christians and massacre them. But they kept on with this message. A couple of years down the line, the whole nation got transformed. Rome declared itself a Christian nation. It spread to Europe. Before we knew, the whole of Europe, we're not just talking about people giving their life to Christ. We're talking about whole society. Barbaric. You're talking about Africa, a backward nation. Europeans were so backward. You need to see how backward the economy of Germany used to be. Where nations like United Kingdom, France, and co. used to be. Wars after war. Europe was filled with wars. You know, the way Africa, the history of this continent was filled with wars and bloodshed. Europe was filled with wars. The message of the kingdom came in there. Restructured the whole society. Shook up the whole system. Shook empire, shook kingdom, shook up kings. Removed kings and brought in new ones. Until when you pick a Bible like King James, you see an introduction from a king of the United Kingdom, then the king of Northern Ireland, and the king of France, all at the same time. Making introduction, calls himself defender of the faith. It wasn't something that was done on a sideline. It was not something that, it was not churchianity. It was not a message of church. Which church we belong to, which church you don't belong to. That was not it. That's not the kingdom. God's plan is not to get people out of Egypt and trap them in another wilderness of church. I'll just take it slowly. You can see the message that Jesus Christ preached. What he preached in his lifetime, ministry time, and the emphasis he left with the apostles when he died. I also want to let you know something about Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 28. There are many places you will find Apostle Paul talking about the gospel of the kingdom. But there's also another message that Paul preached, which I want to end this discussion with. Acts chapter 28, verse 23. When they had appointed him a day, that's Paul the apostle in Rome, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading men concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, and from morning till evening. Now, Paul the apostle, you will notice, everywhere they describe his message, they always describe it in two terms, that Paul preached Christ. The second thing is that Paul preached the kingdom. If we have been doing it that way, we have been saved. Look at verse 31. From 30, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. He rented a house in Rome. Received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence and no man forbidding him. Notice those two elements again. Paul had the revelation of the gospel of the kingdom, but he also had the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who has a coin here? Don't be ashamed. I know you don't drop it in the offering. Just give it to me to do illustration. We have high currencies in coins. Thank you. I wanted to get something. Get it. I want to use two gentlemen to illustrate it. Can I get one person on suit and one person on tie? Two of you sitting next to each other. Okay. Thank you. The gospel in totality has two sides. Is like the two sides of this coin. I want to use two separate. The man on suit is Paul the apostle. Remove your suit. I hope we are safe. The man on suit is Peter the apostle. Everyone say Peter. The man without the suit is Paul the apostle. I just want to give you an illustration. But the man with the suit also has what the man without the suit has. But the difference is that he has this extra jacket he puts on. So, when he puts this on, he brings in another dimension to his clothing that this other one doesn't have. So, if you expose two of them to winter, in the heat of winter, this one will suffer, while the other one will survive because it has that extra protection. The gospel has two sides. The first side is a gospel of grace. The second side is the gospel of the kingdom. If you don't have a balanced perspective between the two and the role of the two, you will get into trouble. I want to just leave you going home with some things to think about this before we get into it fully. Peter preached the gospel. Paul preached the gospel. Paul had only shirt. Not because he doesn't know or understand the gospel of the kingdom. He preached the gospel of grace because at that time, his assignment was to bring the Gentiles into the commonwealth of Israel. These are people that had never known God all their life. They were not part of God's. They have never known the covenant that these children of Israel had with Abraham. They have never had it. They were aliens for the commonwealth of Israel. And Paul said that there is a mystery that has been hid from all ages, which is now being revealed. And that mystery is that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs with the people of Israel, of the commonwealth of faith, of the family of God, and that he was sent to undertake that assignment, and the message that we make that possible is the gospel of grace. Peter himself, whom and the other 12 that Jesus left behind in Jerusalem, were preaching a different message. What they were preaching is the kingdom. By the time Paul got to Rome, when they finally got him arrested and got him to Rome, Peter has reached Rome. History had it that Peter reached Rome before Paul. Actually, Paul, while he was still in Asia, wrote a letter to the Roman Christians telling them to pray for him, that he has desired many times to come to them but was hindered by the devil, but that he believed that when he comes, he will come in the fullness. Everyone say fullness. Everyone say fullness. He said, when I come, I will come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel. And when he finally arrived at Rome, he didn't preach the half gospel. He preached the complete thing. The problem that NAFDAC is facing is not just fake drug. Maybe where you're supposed to make aspirin, you make chalk and mold it and call it aspirin or Panadol or whatever. It's not just fake. The second problem they're facing is adulterated foodstuff and medicines. Part of the problem is, if you're supposed to make a particular capsule with 50 ml of a particular ingredient, let's assume you need chloroquine to create a drug that cures a particular sickness, and you're supposed to put 50 millimeters of that in the drug. If you put 10 millimeters, you are as dangerous as the man giving fake drugs. You know why? When you administer that drug to the sickness and the bacteria meet it, it doesn't kill them. What it does to them is that it hardens them and makes them resistant to real treatment. So finally, when you get the real drug that is real and inject, the man is already resistant to the treatment. That's why many of the drugs that are creating are losing their potency. Why? Because of those that are giving half treatment. What happens to the gospel is that when half truth is preached, it ends up producing a deception that finally keeps people desensitized to the truth when they start hearing it. Get ready to unlearn some of the fables you have learned over the years. There's a message that Peter preached. Peter was sent two by two with others, and they've been preaching the gospel. They healed the sick, they cast out devils, they did other things. But after the resurrection of Christ, there was a dimension their ministry went into. That dimension is that they themselves experienced personal regeneration. And from that moment, the Holy Spirit himself came to indwell them. All the other time, the Holy Spirit walked with them because he was the one healing the sick people. Jesus told them, this Holy Spirit is with you, but then it shall be in you. So everything about their ministry went to another level. What is the gospel of grace, which is the message that Apostle Paul preached? It's very simple. The message is centering, that message centers on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the implication of that for man's salvation. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, explained the gospel that he preached. He says, something that I received from the Lord. That message is simple. Jesus Christ died for you. He gave his life, sacrificed his life on the cross. Why? In order to pay the penalties for our sins. He satisfied the claim of justice. He canceled the debts that we owed. He rose again from the dead. And has brought us redemption and justification. The question now is, how do we receive what he died for? First of all, the message tells you that everything about receiving salvation and remission of sin is free. All the things about the gospel of grace is positioned on the basis of grace. Grace means unmerited favor. You don't work for it. You don't do anything to get it. All you have to do is believe so you can accept it by faith. When you open up your heart and invite Jesus Christ into your life and accept the free gift of salvation, you are saved. No work is involved. No price whatsoever on your side. If that is the complete gospel, you will notice that the Bible is contradicting itself. How come the same Bible said, except you be converted and be like a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God? That means humility is needed to enter. But I thought it's just receiving Christ. How come the same Bible start teaching about obedience to the will of God? For example, look at this. He said, not all who call me Lord, Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but they that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. This is a contradiction, because you are telling me now I can be saved by works. If I do the will of my Father, if I finish, if I do his works, if I please him, then I will enter. But on the other place, you have already told me that, you are not saved by works, you are saved by grace. It's not of your works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift. So the question is, these two contradictory messages, what are they? I want you to get something clear, because your Bible will open up to you with a new light. The message of redemption is a free gift. It offers a free gift. When it comes to salvation, there is nothing you can do to merit it. There is nothing you can do to receive it. Now, when I say do in terms of work, maybe keeping the Ten Commandments or whatever, that cannot bring you salvation. Jesus did all the work, finished the work. Your job is to receive it and believe in him. You receive it by believing in him, by releasing your faith in the finished work of Christ. But let's come over here. The gospel of the kingdom has a different perspective. This one tells you it's not free. The gospel of the kingdom talks about reward. And reward, according to the gospel of the kingdom, is based on your works. For example, you see scriptures like, when the Son of Man returns, he's going to give everyone according to what? I want to hear from you. According to what? Whose works? Jesus Christ's work, the work of Christ, or your works? What message is that? If we have been emphasizing this one, society will have changed since. This one tells you it's free gift. Come and receive. That's the usual way we say it. What the Lord has done for you, it is finished. All you need to do is receive. Healing is free. Salvation is free. Forgiveness is free. Justification is free. All you need to do is believe in the one that has done the work. You receive it. Here, nothing is free. Everything is based on your contribution. Here you hear something like, if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. Here we see something like, if we deny him, he will also deny us. The gospel of the kingdom, number one, produces the fear of God in the heart of the people. Number two, it produces motivation to live a sold out life to God. Number three, it produces crucifixion to self and to the flesh. Without it, people can still do whatever they like. As long as they keep running under the covering of the blood, they are safe. The gospel of salvation is a selfish gospel. It's egocentric in nature. It removes responsibilities from men. It puts all the responsibility on God. God bless you. You can go. take these five things down and you can go home. I know you need to sleep. Just write it. You will understand it later. Some of you will get it now. Some will get it later. What is the gospel of the kingdom? I want to give you seven perspectives to the gospel of the kingdom if you want to get a holistic picture. Number one, can you get it now? Okay, let's try. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's about the rule of God in the hearts of men who yield themselves to his will. In other words, Jesus talking about it said, the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, before we talk about the impact on society, the impact on the social systems of this world, the first place the kingdom impacts is the life of the individual. The kingdom of God, the government of God first comes in human hearts. And then through the people that has submitted to that lordship, it now spreads to the society. Number two, is a moral kingdom. So the gospel of the kingdom is about a set of values and principles for living. It's a message that teaches a different set of values and principles. It's not just grace received. It's free. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what you have done, how many people you have killed, how many abortions you have committed. All you need to do is just call upon that name and you'll be saved. No. This is a message that teaches values. It teaches principles. For example, Jesus said, seek ye the kingdom of God and something. What is that thing? He said, and his righteousness. What does he mean by that? That the kingdom of God comes with a set of value systems, a set of principles for living. So, it's not just about entering into an experience. It's about a new way of life. Let's leave that for now. Number three, it's a social kingdom. It's a political economic system. In other words, the kingdom of God is not just a spiritual reality. It's a practical, literal reality. It's something that when it finally comes in the heart of man, it begins to work through them to impact the nations, the society where they live. It impacts the systems of this world, overthrowing it to bring the system of God over it. It's not just something in the realm of the spirit that you talk about in the sweet by and by. It's something that can change our educational system. It's something that can change our political system. It's something that can change our economic system. It's something that can actually transform your family. For example, God has a kingdom economic system. The man is not into socialism, neither is he into capitalism. He has his own system. Number four, it is also a millennial kingdom. In other words, the kingdom of God doesn't just end with the life we are living now. There is the coming intrusion, full impact intrusion of that kingdom on this earth, where it's going to be completely literal. We'll take over everything from government world. Is that next program on the scene? After we conclude this age of preaching the kingdom, the next thing on the scene is that the king is literally going to arrive back on earth, build his headquarters in Jerusalem, and literally we rule this earth for 1,000 years. We have to preach about the second coming of Christ. It's part of the message of the kingdom. The Bible says, he that had that hope purifies himself just as he's pure. We don't talk about it anymore. That's why sin is running rampant in the church. It's all about now, now, now. And me. Let me just mention this, because this is important to mention. It will help in your understanding. It's also a celestial kingdom. When we talk about that, we mean that there is an aspect, an emphasis you constantly see as you study this, called kingdom of heaven. In other words, what we're saying there is that literally, like we're going to have literal experience when Jesus returns here. Literally right now. That kingdom is already in operation somewhere. That place is called heaven. In heaven, just like if you go to US, you see democracy in full blown. You go to Iraq, they are still trying to bring democracy to Iraq. They are working to make Iraq a democratic nation. The system has started, but Iraq is not full blown like US. But they tell you that you need to go to US. That's the headquarters of democracy. That's what the kingdom of heaven is all about. It's the headquarters of the kingdom of God right now. But when Jesus returns, the headquarters of the kingdom of God on earth will not be in heaven. It will be in Jerusalem. But right now, heaven is not, when you hear the kingdom of heaven, they are telling you about a location, a particular place where God's government, God's rule is total. A society that is completely running God's system. So there, right now, as I'm talking to you, there is a celestial kingdom that is already in operation. In other words, you cannot preach the kingdom of God in its totality without talking about eternity and heaven. The church is just an ambassador. We are set up here as an embassy to represent the king. How can you just be here running foreign policy for a government and you don't talk about your government at home? And after a while, you can even declare independent and detach yourself and start doing your own things. Because you're supposed to be getting instructions from headquarters. We are not here to run our own programs, run our own purposes. We are here to line up the earth with heaven. That's what he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Exploring these different dimensions, because the kingdom of God is a multifaceted dimensional message, is something like if you watch Jesus when he was teaching, he taught with different parables. In one case, he's talking about a man that traveled to a country to obtain a kingdom, and then he gives to his servant some 10 talents, some 5 talents. He's combining our role here on earth with the fact that there is also something beyond this world connected to this thing. Let me end it this way. I can see many of you, your eyes are heavy. I understand. Tell your friend, you need this thing. Oh, stand up on your feet. Have you been enjoying yourself in camp meeting? Are you sure? We're about to switch from milk to meat. I hope your teeth can chew it. How many of you are ready to chew meat here? Let me. It's easier said than done. No. You will see now by tomorrow. But we are going to pray for grace. There is a grace that will come upon your eyes to see. There's a grace that will come upon your system. Because God needs you to understand it, and you need to understand this thing now. And the future of our great country depends on the church getting this message. We have had all the great prophecies about what God wants to do with Nigeria. It will not be done with the message that is presently being peddled to the church. Last Sunday in Dominion City, we had a particular type of service where we started allowing different groups in church to give us the first quarter report of what they've been doing. You see the doctors when they came, how they're giving free medical treatments to people who, that free medical treatment in Lagos without charging, that's what we call the gospel of the kingdom. The social side of the gospel of the kingdom, because the other side. How that message actually leaves the church world to go and impact society. We saw those that are feeding the hungry. They came to give us reports on what they've accomplished within the first quarter. We saw those who have put up a foundation and their job now is providing capital for people that can't afford to start businesses. They teach them how to run their business, provide them with the capital to go and do it. We saw their own group. We listen to those who are going to all the secondary schools, bringing reformation to our secondary schools. We listen to this group, to that group. And at the end of the day, service ended. By the time the second group had finished talking, I was ready to go home. I have gone to church and come back. Tell him, my friend, tighten your seatbelt. Oh. Camp meeting is changing gear now. We are about to take off. As far as going to heaven is concerned, is on the basis of grace. If you believed in Jesus Christ, believe in the finished work, you will get there. But as far as entering the kingdom and ruling in the kingdom is concerned, it's not on the basis of grace. Let me make that clear. Many of you that have given your life to Christ will only form what is called the citizens in the kingdom. Every kingdom has three things there: a king, a domain, the territory he rules, and the citizens. But the king has the ruling class, those who rule with him. The message of the kingdom is telling us right now that if you want to join that class that rules, starting in this present life to the world to come, there is a price to pay for it. we have a big work in our hands. And God has vowed that even from this meeting, he's going to raise a crop of people who will help shoulder these end time responsibilities. How many of you believe you are part of it? Then you cannot allow your eyes to shake. You have to make covenant with your eye. This kingdom thing, nobody will steal it from.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogbwele. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900, 0805-315-3823.